Okay, the conference is being recorded. Everyone is aware of that. Very good. Welcome to the call tonight, our Bible study. It's a little bit after 7, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Tasha, would you open for some prayer again?
Okay, everybody bow their heads. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship and getting together on one accord to study your word, Father. We thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for making us know that it is by studying your word that we could be everything that you would have us to be, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, we're on lesson 4 tonight, worshiping God in truth. And certainly we are really, really blessed to have this lesson tonight. The lesson tonight is really, really powerful. And we're going to just jump right in, and hopefully those who are on the line will catch up, or those who I text today will catch up as well. But Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we have to understand that there's no option here. We must worship God in truth. Since his word is truth, we must worship him according to his word. Now, here the Lord is telling us that everything we do in worship must have God's divine approval. Did you know that? The Lord is telling us that everything we do in worship must have his divine approval. Truth is not arbitrary. Truth for one person is the same as truth for the next. Now, this is kind of funny because we all seem to have our own different levels of truth, don't we? Yeah. We kind of blend a little bit of truth in there, and it's like, okay, well, I didn't tell you all the truth. I just told you the truth that you can have. Okay? You follow me? But God said his truth is the same for you. It's the same for me. It's the same for everybody. And God has not spoken in unclear ways. Man sometimes looks at things a little unclearly, but God has not spoken in unclear ways. God has specified in the Bible the acceptable way that he is to be worshipped. He is not to be worshipped according to the evil and vain imaginations and devices of men. Whatever that is not commanded in Scripture in our worship to God is forbidden if we're going to worship God in truth. Now, that was a very powerful thing I just said. I just simply said that if it's not written and if it's not commanded in Scripture, it's forbidden if we're going to worship him in truth. God is not obligated, and a lot of people get this wrong, God is not obligated to accept our worship just because we offer it to him. I hope you got that. I hope you got that. Because a lot of people think that coming to churches is acceptable. That's enough. That's all you got to do. Come in and sitting down, that's all you have to do. Just coming in and maybe singing a few songs is all you have to do. But you have not worshipped yet. And God does not have to accept it if it's not what it's supposed to be. And so we have to really understand how God is. Hold on 1 second, church. Let me just get this right. All right, church. Sorry about that. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, good. I'm just talking to myself. I thought I went back to the call. All right. We got to understand that God is not obligated to accept our worship just because we offer it to him. We dare not substitute what we want for what God has commanded if we want to please him and go to heaven. We dare not substitute what we want for what God has commanded if we want to please and go to heaven. If I asked for a chocolate cake and you brought me a lemon meringue pie, is that a good substitute if you're trying to please me? God is the same way. We can't just give him something and just think that it's all right. Because in actuality, it's not. There are a lot of folks who think it really doesn't matter what we believe or do in religion, just as long as we're sincere and we follow our conscience. As long as they think that we're sincere, then we're okay. But if it doesn't really matter what you believe, then it doesn't matter if you even believe at all, huh?
Hello?
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 Yeah. What happened?
You disappeared.
Really, isn't it? That's another caller.
Yeah.
Welcome, Willie. I don't know why the pastor didn't say, are we disconnected?
I guess he disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we all got to hang up and call back.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Yeah, he lost on the call.
You have to call back. Can somebody get him to tell him that?
No, you're trying out when nobody answers him.
That's not good. That's a first, though. That didn't happen the last time.
I don't know, we might got to hang up, and all of us might got to call back. I don't know. We all got to link up with him.
Either one seemed to be the only one off the thing, but I reckon you call his phone. I don't know. I don't know if he's on his cell phone or
his cell phone.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know if he was using his house phone or his cell phone or what. Let me...
Oh, that might be on
the phone. Yeah, that's me. I got bumped off myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and you know what? I had to ask for an amen to realize I was off.
That's what Scooter say when you didn't get an answer.
I still didn't get it. And the thing is, I'm looking at the
phone.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all for getting there. I'm on the line. I'm like... Okay, no, I'm not getting this.
Are we still recording?
Oh, yeah, we're still recording.
But hey, you got the new callers that came on?
Yeah, I got everybody that's on. I got Adrian, you, Tasha, Willie, and me. What happened to Andrea?
She's on. Get on the house
soon. Okay, then that's cool. Yeah, cause I see you had picked your cell phone off. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me back up a little bit here. Because, see, I know where I was, but I don't know why I got bumped off. But thank God for the fact that at some point in time, he gives us understanding. We were talking about God not obligated to accept our worship because we offer to him. And then there are many people who believe it doesn't matter what we believe or what we do in religion, just as long as we're sincere and follow our conscience. Right? And did you hear me when I said it doesn't really matter what you believe? Then it doesn't matter if you believe it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Then let me move on down a little. I'm trying to catch up where I was. Let me skip on down to here. A lot of people want to do what they think is best and what seems right to them. But there's a scripture that we're warned not to do this. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Let's see if we can turn there for a minute, church. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Very short passage, but it's a warning to us that we're not to do what we think is best or what seems right to us. If you have it, go ahead and read it, please. Somebody, want somebody?
You said 14:12.
Yes, Proverbs 14, verse 12.
14:12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death.
All right. So there's a way that seems right to us. But if we just lean to our own understanding and do what we think is right, then we're going to end up dying. So according to what God says, we can lose our soul by doing what seems right in our own eyes. See, God's word is no longer our guide, but it's been replaced by creed books and disciplines and manuals and confessions and stuff like that. Men want to do things their way, and it seems right in their own eyes. But we need to stop for a minute and consider the consequences of being deceived by error. You know, it's going to be a shame. I mean, I'm thinking it's a pity. And what a pity it'll be to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, having been fooled into accepting the unlawful religion of the denominational world. What a terrible fate it would be to believe error to be truth, only to be lost for all eternity. Now, what I just said, let me clean that up for you a little bit. At some point in time, we have to understand that if it's not in God's word, we can't worship in the way God wants us to worship him. And if we're going to go ahead and do that and claim that if we're just following this denominational thing over here, and that's our excuse, we're going to stand before God and we're going to be very, very much embarrassed. Because he's not going to accept the fact that you couldn't look in the Bible for yourself and see that this was something wrong. There are churches that have a foot washing service. Nothing wrong with that because Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But look at what happened when they make that the focal point of worship as opposed to what the Bible is saying about worship. And so they're going to stand before God and say, well, God, we wash these other feet the way Jesus did, but he said, but they didn't worship me in truth, in spirit and in truth. So we've got to be sure that what we're doing is right, because there's a way that seems right to us, but it's dead wrong. Okay? Now, the average person, the philosophy of doing what seems right has been vastly altered, the way that people attempt to worship God. They rationalize that God would accept it. They say, well, we've been doing this for the last 40 years. Our church has been doing this since forever. And so God will accept that. But people can rationalize this by anything they want to if they work hard enough and long enough at doing it, don't they?
Yeah.
But that's because people worship God in ignorance. The Apostle Paul told the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, he said, whom therefore ye have ignorantly worshipped. You see, you can worship God, but you can worship God ignorantly. The average person in religious matters takes a whole lot of things for granted. He finds religious groups practicing something, and he says that's what the majority does, so it must be right, and it must be acceptable to God. Well, that excuse has caused a lot of cults to spring up, a lot of people to go ahead and end up losing their soul, because the majority is not always right. That makes sense, anybody? In fact, the Bible tells us about the majority. If you want to know what the Bible says about the majority, turn to Matthew chapter 7, church, verse 13 and 14. See, the Bible tells us that the majority of folks, something going to happen to them. And Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 13 and 14, if somebody has it, go ahead and read it for us.
Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it.
Whoa. So the majority of folk are on that broad road, where a whole lot of folk are going. But the end of that road leads to destruction. But there's a narrow gate. There's a narrow way that's difficult to find, but it leads to life, but there are few that find it. So we don't want to depend on the majority to determine what's right for us and follow them. Because if we do, we will also end up being lost in the eternal fires of hell. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You see, we can't just go with the majority all the time. A lot of times you have kids that are following somebody and say, well, everybody was doing it. Well, yeah, everybody was doing it, but that don't mean that you should be doing it. You need to find your way in the world. In fact, many people never stop to ask, is this scriptural and is this what God wants? That's a question that two questions that everybody ought to ask themselves no matter what they're up against. Is it scriptural and is this what God wants? See, they believe that just any kind of worship that they give will be acceptable to God. And there are a lot of false teachers today that have been passed off as the truth. The main reason for all the religious division that we see in the world today is man will not accept God's word as final authority. Help me, somebody. You see, man is going to do it his own way. Man is hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-necked, and he's going to do it his own way. But the Bible that we each have contains our only instruction on how to please God so we can go to heaven. And isn't that what we really want to end up doing, please God and go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody on the call not want to please God and not want to go to heaven? Well, amen, amen. See, I don't mind to be quiet on that one. God has always told man how he is to be worshipped. God is the only one who has the right to determine how he is to be worshipped. And he will only accept that which is in harmony with his prescribed will. See, God instructs us how to worship him acceptably through his word in the Bible. In Ephesians 5:17, we read, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, if we at least be concerned about where we're going to spend eternity, it's wise to know what the will of the Lord is so we can do that and be pleasing to him. See, we're accountable for what we believe, and we're accountable for what we practice. Our eternal destiny hangs in the balance of how we treat God's truth. Isn't that something, church? Just to know that all we have to do is read his word and understand what he wants, and then give him what he wants. Do it so we can please him. Because not pleasing him has consequences. In every age, God has specified how he is to be worshipped. He says to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. See, God in the New Testament has given us all things that we need to know that pertain to life and godliness so we can worship him acceptably in spirit and in truth. God has always made it plain, always made it emphatic that the only worship that is acceptable to him is only that which is according to his will. Church, there's a lot of churches out there making a lot of mistakes about how to worship God. It's not about how we, business as usual. God has given us a way that he wants to be worshipped, and that's the way we've got to do it. Now, as we continue through these lessons, we're going to find out more and more about how we should be worshiping, what's the difference, how we should apply these things, and certainly it'll help us to be better at what we do. Okay, I'm going to end the lesson there. I got the questions for you. I'm going to do that in a minute. But any questions about what we talked about so far?
The worshiping God, that's not just church worship, that's your entire life worship, right?
Right, right.
Every minute of your life, every whatever.
Right.
I dare say, or maybe I better hurry and put this out before we finish all these lessons, that sometimes the worship is stifled at church.
Meaning,
let me see if I can say this right. Sometimes you want to worship. worship a little more, but there may be, I won't say distractions, there may be inopportune, well, not inopportune time, I don't know. It's just something that holds you back.
Well, I agree with you. It's easy to be distracted in church. First of all, the devil wants you to be distracted. Because if you're not concentrating and focusing on worship, you're not really going to worship completely or totally. And so any distraction becomes a hindrance. And some people say, oh, well, I felt the Spirit, or I didn't feel the Spirit. The Spirit, feeling the Spirit is not conditional on what is happening. It's really conditional upon what you're allowing yourself to experience in according to what God says is worship for Him. But in any church.
Okay, maybe distraction might not be my word. It might be, okay, let me say, I'll go so far as to say that sometimes maybe the Spirit is there with me and me or whatever, and I guess because of the surroundings, I stifle it or whatever. I think.
Okay.
I might want to holler or shout. Might want to dance a minute, but I don't.
But the Bible says, what's holding your reins? What's holding your reins? You see, and a lot of times, something in worship seems inappropriate to us in our own understanding, in our own thinking. You know, it's like I might want to stand up and just praise Him, and it might seem an inopportune time, or it might be the people that are there that may not understand why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
But see, the thing is, our worship, if we learn to take worship and direct it heavenly towards
only to God.
Only to Him, then it doesn't matter what folk around us see, do, or experience. A lot of times you see people that have zoned out. I watch people actually when we're praying corporately. I watch people who actually are praying. I watch their lips moving and they're praying. Now, are they listening to what we're praying about? Are they talking to God? What is it actually going on? They've zoned out and they're actually worshiping God and they're not concerned about what's going on around them. You see, and say, but that happens in any church, anywhere. It's something that we're going to, as we go through these lessons, I believe one of the things that will happen to us is that we'll learn how to really focus our worship straight to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's important. And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why I selected this series. Because I wanted to give us little bite-sized nuggets of what we can do, how we can see this thing from God's perspective and also see it from our own perspective. But that's a good point, though. Any other comments, questions? Things that make you say, wow, I could have asked that? Okay, am I on?
Yeah, you are.
I'm looking at my name on it, so I know I'm on. No questions? Good, then I got questions. What'd you say, Ty?
No, I didn't have a question.
Okay. All right, question number one then. In John 4:24, it says, in our worship to God, A, we can worship God as we choose if we're sincere. B, God is not specified in the Bible how He is to be worshipped. Or C, we must worship God in spirit and in truth.
C.
Okay, good. C is the answer. Number two, true or false? We must have God's divine approval for the things we do in worship. True or false? We must have God's divine approval for the things we do in worship.
I guess
fence standards. I got people on the fence. I'm like, So the answer is true or false?
I think think. True.
Okay, true is the answer. All right, somebody was true and they answered that. That's good. Number three, Proverbs 14:12, the way that seems right to man, A, is the way people should live, B, will lead to spiritual death, C, is how God wants us to live.
C.
B is the answer, brother. Really good answer. Number four, true or false, we should always do what seems right in our own eyes. True or false?
That's false.
The answer is false, but it's true, we do that. Number five, according to Acts 17:23, even though people may be sincere, if they worship God as they choose, A, they ignorantly worship God, B, they are pleasing to God, C, God would accept their worship. A is the answer, brother. Really good, good. All right, I should do this like Michael Bazin, the men against the women. Number six, true or false. When people worship God their own way, they ignorantly worship God.
That's true.
All right, true, all right.
That's true.
Okay. Number seven, Matthew, according to Matthew 7:13-14, how many people will go to heaven? A, all, B, many, C, few. That sounds like a trick question, huh? How many people will go to heaven? You got the whole witness there saying, 144,000. Yeah, but according to Matthew 13:7,
you will
find it. Mm-hmm. Few there be that find it. That's right. That's right. So it's few. Number eight, not true or false. In religious matters, we should follow the majority.
False.
We should never follow the majority. That's crazy. Number nine, according to Ephesians 5:17, if we do not understand what the will of the Lord is, A, it is unwise. B, it is wise. C, it is all right if we're sincere. If we do not understand what the will of the Lord is, A, it is unwise. B, it is wise. C, it's all right if we're sincere.
I think A is unwise.
A.
If we don't understand.
According to Ephesians 5:17, it reads, therefore, do not be unwise, but learn what the will of the Lord is. All right, unwise is the answer. A. Number 10, true or false? It is very important to understand what the will of the Lord is. True or false?
True.
All right. Number 11, according to 2 Peter 1:3, God in his revealed will, A, has not told us what we need to know to please him. B, has given us all we need to know to please him. C, allows us to worship him as we please. As we please him.
B.
B is the right answer. God, in his revealed will of the Bible, has given us all we need to know to please him so we can go to heaven. We don't need any other book or creed book. And finally, the last question, number 12, true or false? God has specified in the Bible how he is to be worshipped.
True.
All right, church. Very good. And that's our lesson for tonight. All right, let me give you some announcements. Let me turn off the recording so that we can give you a couple of quick announcements that won't be recorded. Start from that.